This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
You should keep that one.
It's pretty good.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Oh, good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. Oh, how we doing today? We got to mute that microphone. Perfect. Got you right there. How we doing today on a Monday? It's The Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios, just off McFarland Boulevard, here to talk Alabama baseball, football, all kinds of Alabama athletics, all kinds of sports this weekend. Is the SEC overrated? Oh my gosh, that's the main question in my mind after watching the baseball this weekend. But we got a lot to get into. We invite you guys to jump in and join us on the comment section at Joe Gaither 6, at Hunter Brantley 8, at Theo Fernandez double underscore, at Bama Central. You can be like our friend Dax and leave us a voicemail, 205-462-7340, extension 800. If you want to talk about really anything that's on your mind, this Alabama baseball team, the weekend that they just had, how you feel about the program going forward, that's going to be kind of our themes of the day, sort of. We'll get into 89 days away from kickoff, so we got a lot to get into today. In the Derry Daniel State Farm Studios. We appreciate you joining us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on my Facebooks, on my social media machines, and then, of course, on the podcast centers, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. With that out of the way, you see already our friend Hunter Brantley. You follow him at Hunter Brantley 8. Works over at WVUA, comes and joins us, really messes with Theo. You can find him right there at Hunter Brantley 8. Shoot him a follow right there. You see our man Theo Fernandez. Theo rode with us down to Hattiesburg twice. So we'll talk about that with Theo. Follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez double underscore. Wrote a lot of great articles for us at Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI this weekend. Whew, we're going to have a fun day today with that. Good morning, Theo. How are you, sir?
I am doing great on this fine Monday morning.
Are you really doing great?
You're not doing good. Just be honest. You're depressed, just like the rest of us.
Hunter, my NBA team is in the NBA Finals.
You know the only brand, like the main thing of this show is authenticity. Yeah. So like if you don't lie to me.
I am for the first time in a long time genuinely doing amazing because I'm about to watch my team lift the Larry O'Brien Trophy. I know this isn't a basketball show.
It's okay.
But that, you want it's authenticity? It's a Theo show. The Theo show is going amazing right now.
Okay. When's game one start?
Thursday.
Game one is 7. Thursday.
7 Central?
They're not going to start a game 7 Eastern NBA.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so perfect. All right, so you're doing good for now until...
Until Thursday.
Until the basketball gods decide to flip the script on you.
Nah, there's nothing that can possibly disrupt us from lifting this trophy.
Nothing that can disrupt the Thunder. Okay, hold on. I know that you were about. I know that you wanted to get your 5 minutes in, so we may as well let y'all smash this out right off the start. Yeah. Hunter Brantley, how are you today? And are you saying go Pacers? I guess because you're just messing with your friend.
I'm saying go Pacers because I believe that they can win this series, I'm feeling a little depressed after what I had to witness this weekend between Alabama baseball losing not only one but two games in probably the most heartbreaking fashion I think imaginable, having Cade Snell hit what looked to be a 3-run game-winning walk-off home run against Miami comes a foot short of the wall, and then Southern Miss, you have the bases juiced. I think you leave 8 guys on base the entire game, multiple chances to put it away. Salt the game away, and yet you still lose 6-5. You blow the lead in the 8th, can't do anything in the 9th. And alas, the season comes to an end at 40-18. I believe it's the final record, 41-19. If I'm not mistaken. So pretty blue day here on this Monday to start off June.
You know, I don't want to, you know, get all excited talking about the Thunder and then have to get depressed talking about it. So let's just end on the Thunder.
Okay, all right.
So good, that I can walk out of here feeling happy.
Good plan.
Let's put a bow on baseball.
Good plan. Sure. Okay, so the immediate reaction is, watching Vanderbilt blow it. You have a Tuscaloosa Super Regional. If you just, 1% more. Is that, 1% more.
No, Jen, look, baseball is, Rob Vaughn is kind of notorious for talking about this now, where so many press conferences, he'll talk about, it's a bounce there, a bounce here, you know, a roll this way. And as much as it's a cliche and as much as fans don't want to hear that, it's so true. Because, was that Mike messed up? I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, like, you've got to realize that if that ball makes it 1 foot further and Cade Snell hits that walk-off home run,
different story.
Against Columbia. We take care of business against Columbia, and then all we have to do.
Yeah, Miami wrecked Columbia.
Is win one out of two.
Yep.
Like, seriously, we're that close. Even Southern Miss, right? If we go and don't blow that eighth inning lead, or, you know, we're able to take advantage of that top of the ninth, bases loaded, and get a go-ahead run.
Or the sixth, bases loaded too, with two outs.
No shortage.
Same guy up, or Torres was up, but...
I mean, we all knew that one was now.
Yeah, I mean, and then he had a chance in the... What was it? Eighth inning, he had a chance to lay down a bunt. Runners on first and second, nobody out, and couldn't get the job done. Still don't know why we didn't pinch hit Young or Staden or somebody like that.
Or even Coleman Mozell. Like,
somebody that options. Could lay a bunt down. Especially coming from a guy that's probably never bunted the whole season, and you're going to ask him to lay down a bunt. But a D1 baseball player should be able to lay down a bunt to move guys into scoring position. I don't care who you are. You should be able to do that, no problem, but he couldn't get the job done. And then Brenton Norden grounds into a double play the next at bat later, which just took the wind out of everybody's sails, I feel like. Going into the bottom of the eighth inning, and they take the lead in the eighth, and they never look back in the ninth. When we load the bases and Richie grounds a soft ground ball to third base to end it.
You know, look, I'm usually an optimist as far as, like, when my team loses, I usually feel a little bit better about it a few days after the loss, right? You know, you get time to process. This is one where the more time passes, the worse it feels.
Especially with Vanderbilt being eliminated now, and you have a chance to host a Super Regional, like, with Adams, Quick, and Faye going in the three games. And I feel like they're better than Louisville's starting rotation, just me personally. But
because I really do believe that Rob Vaughn is building something here. I have high hopes for this program going forward. But this team, you know, we've seen what they were capable of earlier in the year. We've seen the just elite pitching that they have in Riley Quick. We've seen the way that Faye's gone six innings back-to-back starts. That ties his career high. To just let roll over like they did in this regional, you know, going 0-2. This is as easy, as clear a path to Omaha that you're ever going to get. It really is.
Oh.
All the dominoes were going to fall your way. Mm-hmm. And they were lining up to look like that, they were going to fall in your direction. And when Bryce hit that two-run home run, I'm like, we got this. We're chilling. We got Osmer in the ninth. We could have Heiberger in the eighth. We could have Hagen Banks. Mm-hmm. I think they threw Myers in the eighth, who was pretty good.
They threw Braylon Myers in the seventh, and Braylon they opened Myers, the eighth and gave up the home run to Nick, Nick, what was his name? Meisner? Monastir, thank you. Yeah.
Which, that's so first of all, You could have very easily just decided to let him take his base.
Yeah.
Because that's what Southern Miss did. You know, they intentionally walked Hodo. They intentionally walked, who else did they? Someone else.
LeBron, maybe.
No, LeBron struck out.
Well, they intentionally walked Will Platner after he hit the homer. Which, has Will Platner ever been intentionally walked?
Ever. It's a home run. Dude's now intentionally walked for the rest of the game.
But no, I think there's a very strong argument to us having done that. And then
right off the bat in the eighth inning, play for a double play.
And then what I do agree with was the move to walk Pedro later in the inning.
I agree with that too.
Osmer, much better.
Because that loaded the bases, right?
It did, yeah. He had
runners at second, third, yeah.
And at the end of the day, I mean, it wouldn't have changed anything because, you know, that hit that was made a second later by Stockman would have scored two regardless.
I'll say the thing about walking a guy that hit the home run.
Monastery.
It's at the end of the day, you're still winning even if he does hit the ball 500, 600 feet. It's still 5-4 at the end of the day. So
right, you're still
you don't
winning.
Really have to worry that much about it. I mean, every run matters, but at the same time, you got to do your part and you got to give insurance runs to help your bullpen out. And Alabama just didn't do that. You leave 8 guys on base. And you can't have that. And
was it the right move? I mean, you guys follow the team all year. Was it the right move to go right to Osmond right there to go for a 6-out save?
Yes.
Yeah, I would have.
I've
only really reliable guy in that bullpen for the most part all year long.
I mean, that's just basically second blown save of the year, yeah, right? And you're at Vanderbilt, you're at Vanderbilt, and then you're right here on the Saturday against Southern Miss. Two blown saves for the NCAA season save leader. Just heartbreaking, just brutal. Yeah. I mean, you guys are watching the show and listening to the show know that my baseball attention is pretty casual. But golly, I was feeling just so horrible for the players, for the program, for the people that really care about the program. It was just the most brutal way to lose two games. We talked about it in the car, Theo, about the Miami game that I thought that Alabama was probably closer to, oh, we got lucky and win if that had gone out as a home run, because I thought AJ Siskar absolutely dominated them. He was incredible, the Miami starting pitcher. And I thought, okay, if you get that walk-off home run, you're more lucky than, yeah, we should have won that game. But you should have won the Southern Miss game. You're up 5-3. Given up a couple big bops, and basically you're fine. Every run has come off a home run. You're up 5-4, and you heard Rob talk before. Okay, solo home runs won't kill you. You'll just give those up. And Alabama's got a few over the wall as well. And I'm thinking, okay, you're at least getting to Sunday, and you're – you know, feeling good about yourself, feeling good about your fight, feeling good about, okay, if we go down on Sunday, then okay, tough cookies right there. But like, to have them in essentially their last frame, because they didn't come up in the ninth, in their last frame, you know, you bring in Osmer, he hits a batter, he walks a batter, and you got first and second with no outs, and I'm thinking, okay, double play, what are we going to do? And then Osmer gets himself some outs. Mm-hmm. Then you walk Pato intentionally, which I do agree, you know, this probably the right move. This guy, you heard him. Tucker Stockman in the post game was like, yeah, I figured they were going to do that. People have done that to me before. Yeah. He said, just look at my stats. I don't have a lot of RBIs. I'm just like,
why.
He said, I got up there just thinking, oh, God, just please help me glorify you. And I thought, okay, that's a great answer. And that's probably why you did it. But, like, you heard it in his answer. You heard it in his comments, in his discussion. Said, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. That was an unlikely hero moment. So impressed by him to come through right there. But just the heartbreak. Because I'm sitting there having to, I mean, I didn't feel like it was that I was that tough with my question, but you felt like you had to ask Rob Vaughn. 0-2 and two straight regionals.
1-6 in the postseason.
Is it an approach issue? Is it a preparation issue? Is it, would you do anything different?
And he goes, Alabama cursed.
No, I wouldn't do anything different. And he complimented all his coaches, staff, and everybody's preparation for the weekend. And like, you're right, it is a bounce here, a bounce there. Vanderbilt would have tied the game last night against Bright State had they not hit a ground rule double in the ninth inning. Mm-hmm. Right, it's the ninth inning. They're down 5-1. They end up getting a rally going. And got men on first and second. Yeah, first and second. And their batter hits a ground rule double. That if it's not a ground rule double, both those guys come around and score to tie the game. At that point, after the rally had been working well, bounce into the stands. You only score one run. It's 5-4. Man has to go back to third base. Batters on second with two outs, and then boom, rinky dink, game's over, your season's over. It is a bounce here and it's a bounce there, but it's just so frustrating, and it's just so, oh, what do you do? What's the key? How do you unlock it to find postseason success, Hunter?
I think it all starts with pitching. It starts and ends with pitching. I said this before, and I'll say it again. When Riley Quick and Zane Adams weren't on the bump, I thought Alabama was just a good, below average, top 25-ish team. But when Zane Adams and Riley Quick are on that bump and it's their shove day, as people like to say, I think they're a top 10 team in the country and they can beat anybody. And we saw it. You know, they beat Vanderbilt. They beat Georgia. They beat Oklahoma, who's still alive. They put up a good fight against Auburn. You know, same thing with Tennessee. But I think when you get guys in scoring position, you got to capitalize on that. And you got three guys left on base, two guys left on base in the seventh or eighth, sixth, you left the bases loaded, I think. And you got to be able to capitalize on that one way or another. And you just can't leave ducks on the pond like that in elite games like against Southern Miss and Miami. And another thing, too, I was surprised that Siskar was able to just carve up our lineup like he did. Saul throwing righty, was hitting 90 max, and he was putting every ounce of bink he had to get to 90, 91 miles an hour. And yet that dude's just still carving us up, and he's dealing, and we can't really do anything with him. Not making solid contact. There's a lot of weak contact being made. And I was very surprised by that.
Yeah, so we'll go right there because me, I'm sitting there thinking they're swinging it like every first. He got through like six innings in 80 pitches or something. He was not really working that hard. The guys in the post game were talking about, oh, he's throwing strikes. If you let a couple strikes go by you, you're going to get behind in the count. If you got to swing it. Look, the last time I played baseball was in middle school. Is there any credence to that, or because I'm sitting there in the press box thinking you're just swinging at the first thing you see? Will you let them get going? Will you look for a good pitch? And look, I'm a baseball dummy, so like, is that you're sitting there with a Yankees cap on? Like, what's the deal there?
Well, look, I mean, he was throwing a lot of first pitch strikes.
Yeah,
apparently that's something he's done all year. You know, but at the end of the day, it's Hunter's right. Like, how did we let him carve the team up that bad? Because, first of all, the approach at the plate was bad. It was off. You know, you look at his first 13 at-bats, only one of them went more than four pitches.
Yeah, nuts.
It's baffling. It's something that we have.
Foul a daggum ball off.
Work the count or two.
There's no ability to work that count up. You're getting behind all the time. And, you know, Alabama, they had a great fourth inning. They still stranded two runners, but they had a productive inning, scoring three runs. Just unable to generate anything for so much of that game.
And the flip side, Miami made Riley Quick work the entire outing.
There was
that dude was sweating bullets
easy.
In the first inning.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he was
and
working.
I mean, credit Riley, but he worked the entire outing.
Yeah, it's funny. I wrote my article on Thursday after Alabama's press conference calling. It was called Alabama Baseball Ready to Avenge Disappointing 2024 Regional Performance. And our boss, Chris Walsh, texts the Bama Central group chat, are you sure about this? And mind you, he sends this text three batters into the game because Riley Quick allowed the first two guys on.
Walk,
three-run home run.
So three batters in, it's a 3-0 ball game.
Apologies. Oh, that's a fine. That's absolutely $1 in the pot.
I'm a busy person here. It's a 205 number. I have no clue who this could be. Honestly,
that's probably girlfriend's girlfriend.
It's probably Dax.
That's the
could be Dax.
It could be.
I'll go that route.
Dax has a voicemail in the tank on defensive line.
We can take, but one more thing.
Yeah, we'll keep going. Keep going. There's a lot more baseball left. You're good.
Just one thing that I think has to be said on this team. I feel so bad for Cade Snell.
Golly.
A redshirt senior.
Redshirt senior. And look, me and Joe have talked a lot about how the best part about sports is always the story, right?
I thought he was about to have an even worse.
It was shaping up to either be the best or the worst possible story. Because you come. If you haven't seen this Miami hit, you go back and just take a look at the highlight because there wasn't a single person in that Hattiesville press box that did not think that ball was out of there. That thing was gone.
On TV, it looked like it was a moonshot.
Riley Quick picks up Rob Vaughn. He said, like, bear hugging him, like, thinking, oh, we're about to celebrate the greatest moment of the season. So a day later, you know, you get into that ninth. Plattner goes down. Neal gets on. Fowler gets on, which what a day for Fowler, doing this against the team he started his career with. LeBron strikes out.
He did not have a good series, by the way.
Three strikeouts in the game against Southern Miss.
Mm-hmm. So here comes Cade Snell.
And I thought, don't let him get the third out. Do it to him.
Two outs, down one, and you got a runner in scoring position.
Two, right?
Yeah. One in scoring position.
It was first and second at the time.
Because he got walked.
He almost he had a deep hit in the first, I believe, right? You know, the one that could have been
The one that got me in trouble.
We got a funny story on that, yeah. So he's almost gone yard today. And I'm thinking, you know what? And obviously, I'm not saying any of this. Third time's the charm. Could he actually do it? And what happens? He gets walked on four pitches. Everything inside, everything low. Nothing that he even had a chance at. And that just hurts.
Well, when he stepped up to bat, I thought, oh my gosh, if he makes this third out, just how challenging it would have been for him after yesterday to take it to the wall. And then you put that together. His back-to-back at-bats, last at-bat against Miami and first at-bat against Southern Miss, two balls right to the wall and can't get a home run. And so he's at in the ninth inning, and I thought, man, the baseball gods, you are so cruel if he gets the third out right here. Just the cruelty and brutality of he's going to have to sit with that. And I'm glad he was able to get a walk and get on base. But like, just I just thought it was you get the guy at the end of the press conference. Rob Vaughn, does it hurt worse to be eliminated in this fashion? I thought to myself, you bozo.
That TV guy annoyed me.
You bozo. And Coach Vaughn was gracious about it. He was like, yeah, I guess it does hurt. I was like, the season's over. Like, can you not look at all three of their eyes at the press conference? They're all glossed over. The red blood shots are in there. They're feeling it. It sucks. It hurts. And they go, well, does it hurt worse because you were that close to winning? It's like, you're out either way. Oh my gosh, you're out 0-2 either way, and you're dealing with the bozos on the internet going, fire Rob Vaughn. You got people. Let's turn right here. Is the baseball program an embarrassment? The baseball programs. I could not believe reading those reactions. I couldn't believe you could believe it because it's the internet.
But some people, yeah.
But you've got, disbanding the baseball program. So embarrassing. Waste of time. So you guys watched it all year. I'm sitting there saying 40 wins, sitting there saying this and that and great, you know, upward trajectory. Embarrassing?
No, we are not embarrassing at all. Like you said, 41 wins to 19 losses, first time since 2002, I believe. You didn't get swept all year. Unfortunately, you did lose three games in a row for the first time all year, being Tennessee, Miami, and Southern Miss. But no, this team isn't an embarrassment, especially when you think about who you're competing against. Like, my God, Vanderbilt, 1 seed, Texas, 2 seed, Auburn, or Arkansas, 3 seed, Auburn, 4 seed, Georgia, 7, LSU, 6. I mean, look at the people you're competing against. You're competing against the best of the best week in and week out, and it is a gauntlet every single week. If you're not ready to go, like Rob said earlier in the year, you better be ready to take a punch, and you better be able to give one as well when you get hit in the mouth. And if you're not ready to do that, then you're going to have a rough season. And Alabama, I thought they did as well as they could have, to be honest with you. With what they had in that bullpen and what they had available to them starting pitching-wise, like I said, without Quick or Adams, this team's a completely different deal. And we're not winning 40 games, and we're getting swept a lot every weekend if it's not up to Adams or Quick or guys like LeBron or Snell that have been the backbone of this team and been a catalyst for this team every game this year.
It's disappointing no matter how you slice it.
That's a much more fair word.
You know, like, to start 16-0, Justin LeBron having 50 RBIs, you know, heading into April. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you look at this team and you're like, man, this season looked like it was going to go so differently. What I guess the question then is, because, all right, embarrassment, we shouldn't even be happy. We shouldn't even have to have this conversation.
That's a silly word.
Very.
I think the very fun question, though, is, okay, look at the past 3 years we've had. You know, top two seeds, last three regionals. We hosted one, almost hosted one this year. 2023 could have gone very different if it weren't for some interesting situations. You know, seems like things are kind of changing as far as what the way the program is viewed. What standard should the program be held to? Like, what is there a new benchmark for Alabama baseball? Or
we haven't been to Omaha since what, 26 years, right?
Since the Bill Clinton administration.
And so, like, that's what everybody's focused on, right? Oh, get us to Omaha. Auburn's been there. Why can't we? I know, obviously, Auburn had a good weekend. They're one of the few SEC teams that did have a good weekend. And I guess you've got a hard juxtaposition because the school across the state is doing well and has been doing largely well. But I think this question is better directed at Hunter because I don't have enough juice and passion for baseball. What is the standard for Alabama baseball?
I think the standard should be one day, hopefully, make the College World Series. Now, that's easier said than done, obviously, when you hadn't made it in 26 years. But I think this next year coming up, if you can get some of these guys from this year's recruiting class to campus, like the Miles Upchurches, the Eric Kines, the kid from Mountain Brook, Holden from Thompson High School, who's a really good pitcher. If you can get some of these guys on campus and you can retain Bonomolo, Bryce Fowler, if you can convince LeBron to stick around and just be like, hey, man, trust this process. I promise you we'll get there at some point. You're a stepping stone for what we're building here. If I'm Rob Vaughn, I'm telling everybody in that room that you're a stepping stone for what we're trying to build here. We can make it to Omaha. I promise you. Look at Tennessee. When Vitello got there, they were one of the worst programs in the country, not just the SEC. They were, I think, 12-win, 13-win team in conference play, something like that, or overall, I mean. And just look what they did. They just won the national championship last year. Yes, it took 7 or 8 years, and it's going to take a process like everything does. It just doesn't happen overnight like some people on the internet who are just idiots want to make it seem like, that it takes a while to get where you want to be. Not everybody's Nick Saban, and you can't come in here year three and win a national championship, especially in the game of baseball. It's different.
That's the other
You have part. To build a Keep culture. Going. You have to build a foundation, and you have to want guys in your locker room that want to win and want to compete at the highest level. And I think we had some guys like that, but in the lineup, I thought once you got past Bonomolo, it went from here and then it went down a notch as far as guys in the lineup being able to consistently hit the baseball. And that's another thing, too. You need 9 guys that you feel confident that by hook or by crook, you know that they can come through for you in a tough spot. And Alabama had maybe 4 or 5 guys this past year that could do that. And I want to give praise to Richie Bonomolo because that guy started batting last to begin the season, and he ended batting cleanup, and I think he's hitting above 300, which is just phenomenal. If you can keep him around, like I said, Fowler around, LeBron, Hodo, Torres needs to hit the road.
Hodo's graduating.
He is graduating. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Bonomolo has played his way into real MLB draft consideration, which is something that no one expected to start the season. But then on the flip side, you know, Jason Torres was disappointing.
He was disappointing.
You know, Garrett Staton had the injury issues.
And he just wasn't the same coming back from that.
Yeah,
I felt
which
like.
Is unfortunate, you know.
Our man Jonathan Jackson joins us on Facebook. Jonathan, I hope you're doing well. Thank you for joining us today. Saying definitely not embarrassing. He's agreeing with you, Theo. I would use disappointing. I'm with you there. It's the 0-2 factor in the weekend. It just hurt so bad. You didn't get a win.
In a regional that you easily could have won, hands down.
Absolutely. And
on paper, I feel like they were the most talented team. Sorry to cut you off. But
no, I do too.
I think hands down, Alabama was the most talented team in that regional, and they should have been going to Supers. And we should be hosting a Super Regional this weekend,
we should.
In my mind.
And, you know, to your point, one of the things that, you know, it would be very easy for someone to listen to this segment and think, oh, like these people don't think Alabama should have a high standard set. No, I absolutely believe that. You know, yeah, we are Alabama. We're the University of Alabama, you know, title town. I understand if you want this program to be a national contender. And I certainly understand if you want to be competing at the level that Auburn does or Tennessee does.
That's what makes things so much tougher on the internet, fans. Is seeing Tennessee and seeing Auburn do stuff. Keep going.
And there's nothing wrong with demanding that the program reaches that level of success.
Sure.
You know, just like, you know, it's okay to be upset that softball, you know, is starting to slip a little. Like, there's nothing wrong with stuff like that. I just think that there has to be a level of patience in waiting for that. Now, let's be real. Like, if things start to slip at all, people are going to be calling for Rob Vaughn's heads. And it'll be more than just a select portion of the fan base. Like, Rob Vaughn is on. The ice is starting to thin a little.
You think?
I don't think. Look, he doesn't have a hot seat or anything at all. But I think he's reached the point now with these, you know, 0-4 in regionals where if you have another year where you can't make it out of there, there's going to be some real talk, you know, because you got to look at Rob Vaughn and realize that there's a history of this happening.
Yeah, we looked at that too.
At his time in College Park, 2021 regional, you know, was a 3 seed, competed, couldn't make it out. 2022, Maryland gets to host. And you end up getting put down by UConn. And then 2023, you're the 2 seed. And you end up getting eliminated by 4 seed George Mason. That's 5 straight years now that you've qualified for regional. That's 4 of the years where you're a top 2 seed, including a host in there. And you have nothing to show for it.
That's why I asked him about the preparation for the postseason stuff.
And I'll say, make a point on the preparation. What were you doing all week? Did you know that somebody other than AJ Siskar was going to start? Did you not prepare for
it? No, he said that they did.
They knew that he was going to start, they still couldn't figure out a way to hit him.
He said he had all week
to get ready for AJ Siskar, a soft throwing righty, who could barely hit 90, and you still were baffled at the plate. Time and time again, all game long, couldn't really do anything, couldn't really string anything together.
Do you think that's on the players or on the coaches? Or, I mean, it's obviously both, but like, pick one.
I feel like it's got to be more on the coaches a little bit, because you don't see this in the SEC all the time. Hell, really, not at all. You never see a guy that can barely hit 90 miles an hour on the bump. It's guys that are throwing 98, 99, like the kid from Tennessee, like the kids from Vanderbilt, Texas, Oklahoma. Like, Witherspoon's pumping it at 98, 99. He's the best pitcher in the country.
He is absurd.
He's insane. And so is that. What's the kid from Tennessee that started against us? I can't remember his name, but that dude was throwing 98, 99. He hit 100 against us. And, you know, we're absolutely not prepared to see that in SEC play.
And that's understandable. That's more
90 miles an hour. I mean, we're expecting to see guys like the kid from Tennessee, Witherspoon, Cade Anderson at LSU, and, you know, we get this guy, and it's a change of space, change of pace, and it's a different look for us. And obviously, I don't think we prepared good enough to do damage against Siskar, obviously, when you only score 3 runs or 4 runs.
And I don't want to jump to conclusions, but here you kind of have to, you know? And I would like to believe that Rob Vaughn is, because look, at the end of the day, 4 games that he's had in regionals here, you had the 2 this weekend that we've talked about where so close, could have so easily won them. You had an incredible game against UCF in the opener last year. It was an 8-7 final where that one obviously could have gone either way. And the one that really is just bitter is the 4-0 shutout loss to Stetson, because that's, you know, getting eliminated by the 4 seed. But there, he very, very easily could be 3-1 in those 4 instead of 0-4, but that's not how it fell. You know, you're 0-4, and that's concerning no matter what.
And you need to do some damage in the SEC tournament as well in Hoover to help your cause out a little bit. I know it won't silence everything, especially when you lay an egg like you did in regionals, but it'll at least keep people honest that, hey, this guy's at least showing some change and he's actually getting something done in the postseason. Because, I mean, you beat no one with a pulse in SEC tournament play. You've been 0-2 basically with a win against Missouri, who's the worst team in baseball, it feels like.
And a win that you had to legitimately fight for. I mean, you were
a win against
a
team that's actually worth playing against, I guess.
And then giving up 20 hits to Tennessee, it was just...
A competent college baseball team, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because Missouri is definitely not competent at all.
I don't know. I'd like to believe that Alabama baseball really is building something. And I do. You know, I think the program is in great shape right now. I just think that there are very, very valid concerns that people can have. And I think that it's now fully on Rob Vaughn to find a way to alleviate those concerns.
Do you really think Bonamolo goes pro? I think he sticks around in college somewhere else, whether it be Alabama or hit the portal.
Somewhere else.
I hope not somewhere else, but in this day and age, you never know.
Right. Like, we have no clue who's staying, who's going.
That's the thing.
It would be an... Like, we played the game for basketball, I remember, staying or leaving. You may as well flip a coin for that here in baseball. Like, yeah. I genuinely...
You might as well just pull names out of a head and be like, staying, okay, going.
Zero win.
This guy's going to go here or there. But you know that at least somebody's going to leave for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's going to get it back from LSU, from Texas, from Florida.
I think Jason similar to Colby Sheldon is probably out of here.
Oh, 100%. He's got to be. When you end the season 2-for-22 and you get really one meaningful hit in the SEC tournament over a course of a month or two, and that's all you have to show for, you're good as gone. So
Is your guy Eric Hines going to get to campus, ACA man?
I hope so, man. I hope so.
Call him.
Awesome. I hope so. He follows me on Twitter. So
you're an ACA man. You're an ACA man yourself, right? You're,
yes, I am,
graduate of 2015, 2019. I was trying to give you some experience. Some experience here.
Maybe that was my phone call from a second ago. And
that was Eric Hines.
That was Eric Hines. And I was going to go on the show because I couldn't pick up. I would love for him to come to campus.
Recruiting class, I mean, the folks who are committed / signed, I mean, are, you look at
really
it, it's supposed to be
really good.
You know, top end talent. It's just how many can you actually convince to not go into that MLB draft?
With that being said, Justin LeBron was like the number 43 shortstop in the country or something. Sometimes the scouting numbers are so
I don't think he's definitely not the number one prospect anymore. The way that he just can't hit a slider that he chases things in the dirt like crazy.
His vision.
The spin. You throw him anything breaking and it was.
And his whiff right over the top of it.
Good news is he's a whole offseason to work on that.
Yeah, that's good. If he doesn't transfer.
And I really hope that comes here because this is a guy that there was a legitimate case heading into April that he would be the number one pick in the 2026 draft.
And I don't think that's there anymore.
I don't think
I wouldn't.
Is
if
either.
I'm a scout or a GM, I would not draft him number one overall. If I'm the Rockies, because it looks like they'll have the number one pick. If I'm the Rockies, I'm not drafting them.
Do you think he slacked off because he wanted to fall off the Rockies board?
That might be.
Are they still stuck on 9 wins?
They're 9-51. They're 9-50.
They almost beat the Mets.
Orlando Arcia, shortstop, hit a home run.
They took the Cubs to extra innings as well last week. But man, terrible, terrible, terrible team.
Yeah, no, the White Sox set a standard for how bad a team can be, and then the Rockies have demolished.
They're blowing them out of the water, brother. I mean, good night.
They fired
9-50.
They fired their manager, and one of the best things I've ever seen on X, someone tweeted, Rockies firing their manager is like amputating your leg because your head hurts.
I saw a sports reporter, a sports anchor in Denver. He made a whole package about them firing Bud Black. He's like, hey, Bud, it's not your fault. Bud Black, this is not your fault. You know, just sometimes things don't go your way, but I promise you, this is not your fault, Bud.
Have they won a game since firing?
I don't think so. I don't even know who their manager is right now, man.
I have no clue. Rockies.
Google that and I'll pivot us real quick and you find this.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress, for a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
My other huge big picture takeaway from this weekend was the SEC overrated? You sent 13 schools into the NCAA baseball tournament. Currently, I think I'm still stuck on this. Seven are gone. Seven are eliminated.
So six are
and
still alive.
You've got Auburn and Arkansas have moved into the next day, moved into super regionals. Tennessee's playing it if necessary. LSU's playing it if necessary.
Ole Miss
worked themselves into an if necessary last night.
So maybe eight are gone. Am I missing one more?
State's out. State, Vanderbilt. State. Us, Texas. Yep. Kentucky's out. Yep. That's 10.
Yep.
Oklahoma's in. Oklahoma's in.
Oklahoma's playing, if necessary. That's today, the other one. Yes, right. Oklahoma. So you have two teams. Two of your 13 are into the Supers, have made it to the last 16. And do we say three or four, if necessary, today?
Four.
Four other teams. So you could end up getting six all the way through, which six is a much better number. You are feeling good about that when you throw 13 in there. But to losing Vanderbilt, losing Texas, you know, it was the SEC overrated?
I wouldn't say overrated because it is baseball and we still have six teams left and we still can get three or four to Omaha. Yeah, for now. But I still think that we can get three or four to Omaha. And look at the years past. Let's go back to 2024. Who's in the championship game? Tennessee, A&M. Okay, the year before that, two different SEC teams are in the championship. Florida and LSU. The year before that, let's see, it's Ole Miss and a future SEC team, Oklahoma. Okay, the year before that, Mississippi State. I think they beat Virginia in the World Series.
Good memory. Well
done. The year
done.
Before that, Vanderbilt in 2019. Great. They won the World Series, I think, against Mississippi State, if I'm not mistaken. Not 100% sure on that. But that's one, two, three, four, five SEC teams
in a row
that have won the championship by, and in the championship game, it was two different teams each time. It was never the same team over and over again. So I think that just because you have one bad regional, you can't just say, oh, they're overrated. Maybe this year, but still got six teams left.
Georgia national seed out. Vanderbilt national number one overall seed out. Texas national seed two overall out. Oh, man. It's just so what I was seeing on the interwebs was the folks talking about NIL versus non-NIL programs. Oh, it's okay if you want to get your program built by NIL, but you better be ready to fight when these boys who have tarped their own field come into your place. Yes, that makes the old school people feel good. That makes the boomers feel good to say that. Oh, you know, Wright State beats Vanderbilt with no NIL money. Rawr, you know, playing the game the right way. Is that just people searching for a narrative, Theo, or is there credence to any of that?
I think that there is. I think there's merit there. I think, you know, in this era of college sports, there has to be. But I'm going to. I think that, you know, I had a little bit of a revelation yesterday. I apologize. Those are Colorado Rockies highlights planned for my computer. I had a little bit of a revelation.
They have highlights.
Low lights. What's your revelation?
I'm watching that Wright State Vanderbilt game because I'm bored. You know, I wish I was in Hattiesburg.
Great drama.
I wasn't. So I'm watching that game. And I'm watching, you know, it goes final. And my first thought is, man, this sucks for the SEC. And you know, my second thought was, what an upset. This is incredible. And I'm done with the whole SEC first thing. I really am. I'm here. You know, first of all, usually I'm objectively trying to cover teams to a reporter, but as far as rooting interest goes, I'm an Alabama fan. And maybe the other
15 schools. Bunk
maybe
them
this
all.
Comes
Get
from
out
me
of here.
Growing up, like being a pro sports fan, it is so foreign to me. The idea that the teams that you're rooting against all year, you're supposed to suddenly root for in the postseason?
Nope.
No. And that's what I've realized. Like, from now on, I'm not going to root for an SEC team.
It's not rooting, but it is interesting to me. It's just something to keep an eye on. Keep going.
Like, it genuinely seems like sometimes fans, you know, want, like, I remember one of the things, 2023, we lose in the Rose Bowl, right? And, you know, I'm talking to my roommate because we were at the game together, and as we're leaving, he says, I just really hope Texas wins now because we need an SEC team to take it home. I'm just thinking,
they weren't even in the SEC, but keep going.
They're in the Big 12, first off.
That's a side argument, because I get the argument of, oh, they're coming to the SEC. No, why would I root for a team?
I wanted Michigan to go ahead and finish it.
Yeah, I wanted Washington or Michigan.
There's no reason I am not Greg Byrne. You know, I'm not Greg Sankey. I don't care what these other teams in the conference do.
You mean your revenue's not going up? Your revenue's not going up for when Florida gets into. Yeah.
And we're going to have a very similar version of this when we talk about the NBA Finals in a second, because that's another thing that pisses me off, because it goes kind of hand in hand. But, like, look, there are some SEC programs that I have always, you know, it's easier to root for. Like football, for example. I understand why people would want to root for, oh, Lane Kiffin, like very likable guy. But I'm not going to sit around as the NCAA tournament is happening and I have very little attachment to any of these teams. It's awesome for Wright State. What a win. What a moment for that program. You know, like when there were SEC fans who were upset when Drake beat Missouri in the NCAA tournament because it was a bad look.
Hilarious.
I know, it's awesome. Here's one of the greatest stories, a school of D2 players going and beating Missouri.
I wish you were in my big group chat midday yesterday. I'm saying burn, baby, burn. The SEC is burning to the ground because you're just seeing teams left and right and center going out, out, out. And, you know, Georgia, they have a huge lead on they were playing Oklahoma State, right? And they're chirping that we can take this to pivot to the next conversation, baseball etiquette. But they're chirping like crazy and that, you know, button your shirts up, boys. Nobody needs to see that. And then Oklahoma State ends up pulling it off. And
one button on his shirt.
What I would love for those situations, have him slide head first on your chest. You'll button your shirt up then. You will button your shirt up real quick.
You'll think twice about buttoning it all the way up, buddy.
But the point is, like, you're just seeing the SEC crumble into what you're saying, Theo. I was seeing an amazing story develop. I was seeing just you get the – you know, the reporters who are outside of the SEC who are treating it like, you know, it's a field day. But I'm just seeing this like, oh my gosh, think about the drama that we are experiencing. You know, no super regional in Nashville, no super regional in Austin. It's just, for the amount of passion, money, for the amount of energy that these programs put into their respective programs, I just think, you know, coming up short. Maybe it made me feel better about Alabama, but it also was just I was all marveled at these programs coming up short, Hunter.
I'll say one thing about the cheering for the SEC thing. It just really irritates me when guys like Danny Canal get on Twitter and just like, well, it looks like the SEC. It looks like they're just all talk. They're just all bark and no bite again. They're the king of hypothetical matchups until they have to actually play somebody and then they can't win. And it just
don't you think that discredits the game of baseball or the game, the actual game that it is, whether it's baseball, football, basketball? Like sometimes the ball bounces up and, you know, sometimes you have a bad day shooting. Sometimes you
just can't hit for crap, you know.
That's something, you know, I know I just did this asking with if the SEC was overrated, but I do struggle with, do we have to make a narrative out of everything?
Yeah, do we have to say one conference is better than the other?
Well,
but if you're in that camp that says the SEC is better than the Big Ten or the Big 12, it's kind of hypocritical to not root for the SEC to beat said Big Ten opponent in a matchup. If you think the SEC is better than the Big Ten, you know what I'm saying? But you don't have to be balls to the wall, screaming, cheering at the top of your lungs like, come on, Tony Vitello, let's go lock in right here, Tennessee. You can just be like, if y'all win, fine. If not, then y'all just embarrass the SEC like always.
And that's kind of the realization I'm coming to right now. Like, I believe the SEC is the best conference in the country in just about everything, as I believe most people should.
Except maybe football, but go ahead.
But I'm not going to sit around and, you know, let it affect my rooting interest, or like I have that take, but it's very low on the totem pole of things that I care about. It really is. And I don't feel the need to get very hung up over Oh, no, this Big Ten school beating SEC school in this game.
Wright State goes up 3-4 in the first inning, and my reaction was not, oh, man, come on, Vanderbilt. My reaction was,
this is interesting. You know, maybe they come back, and that'll be fun, too, but, ooh, you're in a hole. And you got Texas and UTSA, and just the people in Austin are sitting there like, stunned, and I'm just like, ooh, this is interesting. I love it.
Yeah, it's sad to see, you know.
You got the people in Arkansas last time. I'm flipping all the way through, and Arkansas, they're dominating their Creighton, and what was interesting to me, how many strikeouts are they going to put on that wall? Ooh, K. I think it was 19 or so, since what, 2003 is what I saw in a baseball postseason regional game, so I just want to see the great stories. And so when the SEC starts, okay, Alabama, bad weekend. Okay, Tennessee, you're playing an if necessary game. Georgia, you blow it at home. Like, these stories make me just excited and get me going.
Absolutely. I cannot agree more.
All right. You want to talk about behavior?
I do, but I want to.
Go ahead.
Gather these Rockies numbers, and they're better than I thought. They're atrocious, aren't
they? They're awful.
Better than I thought.
They are the worst team in the world.
First of all, Colorado is now on its fourth 8-game losing streak of the season.
Colorado.
They have spent over half the year on an 8-game losing streak.
How many games are they under 500? Like 40?
They're 41 games under 500. They've been swept in half of their 20 series, and they are the third fastest team to 50 losses behind absolute juggernauts, the 1876 Cincinnati Red Stockings and the 1884 Kansas City Unions. That, seriously.
That is laughably pathetic. And
the other team that's close? 1889 Louisville Colonels.
They should be AAA.
They are losing at a rate that has not been done since before the year 1890. Since the William McKinley, or the Grover Cleveland administration.
Before segregation.
The first Grover Cleveland administration.
Before segregation. So during the SEC-ACC challenge, back to the rooting interest argument. Who are y'all cheering for? Y'all going to cheer for Duke and North Carolina and NC State? Is it just going to be neutral?
For basketball?
For basketball, yeah, the SEC-ACC Challenge. Are they doing that this year?
Yeah.
I don't really
imagine they will. I don't root for anybody.
Do we have an opponent yet?
I'm an ACC basketball hater.
So. I root for whoever Alabama – who Alabama's opponent, right?
Yes.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, obviously.
And then who – the other side of the Auburn argument – you know, so whether that be Duke or North Carolina, go for them. It's situational. It has nothing to do with conference.
Agreed.
It has whoever's playing Tennessee, I'm rooting for the other team. You know, now
LSU, probably same thing.
LSU,
Florida, of course, we're rooting for the other team.
LSU, I'm indifferent. I don't care. If LSU wins, great. Whatever. Uh-huh. If Mississippi State wins, great. Who cares? Like
Florida, definitely cheer for the other team.
Yeah,
now.
Probably will
you
be cheering.
You got to cheer for the other team. They're our rival. We hadn't beat them in God knows when.
Our rival. They're not technically our rival.
Chief rival.
Lot of it comes down to just, you know, which team has coaches that I like.
Yeah, it's all about relationships.
I love Porter Moser. I met him a few
good
years
guy,
ago.
Really good guy.
We'll always be rooting if Oklahoma basketball is on most of the time.
Yep.
You know? And that you can play that game with most of the teams.
Take care of our boy Darion Reed, Porter.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Mo Wagy, is he still there?
No,
I think he transferred somewhere else.
Of course he did.
I think he's graduated.
Oh, really?
I believe so. Goodness gracious.
Mo. Was he a senior?
I mean, he's only in college for 20 years.
Yeah, he was a grad. Yeah, he's done.
He's getting a 21st year of the Diego.
It's almost like I work here.
Yeah, you're right on that one.
Blind squirrel finds a nut.
You know, he got a pretty nice ovation in our
game
against Oklahoma.
He should have. The Final Four team member. Absolutely. Goodness gracious. All right. Here's what I don't know. Here's what I don't get about baseball. I don't get the hoity-toity, arrogant, we're taking things so seriously. And I'm going to start with Duke and Oklahoma State.
Okay.
Okay. Duke player AJ Gracia, AJ Gracia hits a home run and gets into the Duke dugout, and apparently Duke, much like Alabama basketball, has a hard hat with a Duke logo on it that, yada, yada, you're the man right now, you celebrate it, like a turnover chain. You hit a home run, here's your hard hat, we're celebrating. Great. He's in celebrating in the dugout. Goodness gracious. Next inning, or later in the inning, Duke is continuing to rally, and Duke gets some men coming in. I think they hit a double, two RBI double. The exact circumstances don't really matter, but they're celebrating. And AJ Gracia still has this hard hat. It is not a baseball helmet. It is a hard hat construction style, and it's not his Duke baseball hat that he wears in the field. And comes out of the dugout with this hard hat to high five, rah, 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 go Duke, we just scored. And what happens? Umpire sees him with the hard hat on. You're out of the game. Ejected, buddy. And now, I mean, apparently based on some of these rules, this guy, the coach is talking about him missing the next game. I'm not exactly sure about that.
So he just came out of the dugout with his hard hat on and was giving people high five.
Yeah, high five.
And that's it. There was no
because
to the other team. There was no flicking anybody off.
Exactly. The NCAA's ruling on illegal use of home run props. You got your home run prop was out of the dugout. Blah 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 blah. We're baseball. This is not according to the rules of the game. Now, last week we had Robert from Brookwood call about the Sanford young man who was an absolute turd.
Now that was over the line.
Yes,
over the line and then some.
Right, of course. And Robert was dead right. He was absolutely right to say he was out of line, and he was out of line. But this Duke fella is just out of the dugout. High five! Everybody's rah rah right at the mouth of the dugout, basically. And home plate umpire, you gone. What are we doing here?
Let the kids play, please. Let them play. If they're not talking mess to the other team, if they're not flicking anybody off, cussing people out, it's fair game. It's fair game if you're celebrating with your team. But when you start disgracing families and you start using choice words and you're calling people out left and right, now that is a problem in my mind. And I don't know why we normalize that in the game of baseball, especially in the game of college baseball.
Yeah.
That we just think it's okay for guys to hit a home run. They can throw their bat 10 feet up in the air. They can go around the bases and say an F you, screw you, mm-hmm. this and that. And we think that's okay because I think it's childish. I think it's ridiculous, to be honest with you. I think you should just hit your home run. If you want to pump your fists, celebrate with your team, I'm all for it. But when you start talking trash to other players on the field, and it gets to a certain extent when you're just dogging them out and you're belittling them, I think that's too much. I think that's too far. But this is appropriate. I think this is clearly in bounds. I think you should be able to do whatever you want with your team, with your fan base, anybody like that. But I mean, I think that's just Karen being a Karen.
And to your point earlier, Hunter, and like Joe, when you were looking for that word, like to describe where you were going, I disagree with your choice of word because the word I would go with is tradition.
Okay,
because baseball has the richest tradition of any sport in the world. And you just look at the way, because we're kind of, I get that we're going into this kind of talk on the unwritten rules.
Yeah, we're going to bring the Florida coach in here soon. Keep going.
Like, I think there has to be a respect for, there has to be more of a general respect for those unwritten rules and for the tradition of the game. Because that's part of what makes baseball so special. Now, I think my take on this is going to be very similar to Hunter's, where I don't think this particular situation that we're talking about at all crossed the line. I think that, you know, there's really no reason to throw the guy out over that. But I also think that we do see a lot of examples, especially in the college game right now, of people kind of going too far, which...
Do you think that these baseball people look over at their softball counterparts and think, we're not going to be those clowns?
All right. I'm going to say, and I'm in the sports.
They look
office.
Down on the softball.
At WVUA, and Gary, like Gary is, you know, watching the Alabama softball.
Oh, I'm sure Gary hates it.
Talking about, oh, why do they feel the need to celebrate every hit? And he's got a point. Like, I'm sorry.
He does have a point.
Do you really need to, like, do a little dance for, like, a base hit, you know?
For a double, it's different.
For a double,
I like what our celebration was when we did the.
Yeah, I like I that. I agree. Now, and, look, different sports, you know.
They had
different
like,
genders, different people, and
they had the inflatables in the dugout last year.
Look, baseball and softball are not the same, you know. And I think
vastly different.
They're vastly different, and I think there's nothing wrong with saying that. And I think it's fun how softball, you know, they have some awesome celebrations. It's not baseball, and I understand.
But why is it so serious? That's really my. The lane that I'm coming from right here, because you've got, we're taking it so seriously with this Duke guy. You've got the Florida coach who is losing his dang mind over scheduling and who's doing their jobs and who's, you know, the field conditions and whatever. The story that I broke this weekend, whatever, was about people taking things too seriously. It's sports. Like, It's sports. Is the emotions real at the end of the day when the Alabama fellas are really hurting? Yes, and that part is serious. But like it's just sports. Why can't we relax a little bit?
Now, would your take be the same if we were having this conversation about golf?
Yes. Yeah. Because I remove the money, the people, remove the powers that be from LIV Golf. Obviously, that's a separate conversation. But LIV Golf is an awesome product for the viewer.
It is a great product.
Like you obviously have a lot of other ancillary conversations there. But as far as the golfers are wearing shorts. Oh, there's music on the course. Oh,
they're on the course.
You know, the fans are a little like Waste Management Open. Like, okay, that's not LIV Golf. That's PGA. Back to you can remove some of that stuff. Like Waste Management Open is so much fun. Waste Management Open invites young fans, invites people who are not traditionalist, invites people who don't have a stick all the way up their rear end to watch golf and to play golf. Like when I watch the Waste Management Open, I'm like, man, I want to go hit a golf ball. And of course I do love the Masters. And like, I understand that weekend at that spot, in that area with those people in Augusta, yes, we are. You wear no cell phone on the course. You're wearing
Sunday best,
right? So you're wearing your pants. You're not no shorts. You're wearing nice shoes. You know that all kinds of those kinds of things. You're not cheering for every Baba Booey. You know none of that, right? But time and a place. This is college sports. This is not, and even if it was the World Series in baseball, like I don't see baseball that way. Well, I do not see baseball that way at all.
I don't see it the same way.
You can take this into tennis. Everybody who's everybody's wearing white at Wimbledon. Like I appreciate everybody wearing white at Wimbledon, but I also laugh at you guys are taking this way too seriously. And you got fans who are clapping during tennis rallies, and they get upset about them. Like. Come on, let's get to the U.S. Open up at Arthur Ashe Stadium where everybody's rah-rah and like getting excited about the action here.
And I think it's better to take the edge off of stuff like that, like tennis or golf, and then same, especially baseball. Like, I mean, this is America's pastime we're talking about, and I don't have a problem with celebrating at all, but the thing that really irritates me is we just normalize now, it seems like, let's throw our bat 10 feet up in the air and let's just disgrace everybody's family on the field in the stadium.
I think
like that
know,
kid from Sanford.
Right.
But
there's
I think
a line
you can
there.
Have a best of both worlds where you can celebrate with your team and go crazy. Because I've done that before and it's fun. It's fun to do when you score a run and you're celebrating with your team. And I think it's fine and it's okay. But again, when you get to the talking to the other team, I think that's when we draw the line.
I'm going to pull in another sport right now.
Go for it.
I'm going to pull in the NBA because the NBA was the fun league. Like they embraced all of this. You know what? Like let the players do what they want, you know, let it. And there's really no such thing as an unwritten rule in the NBA. And I think that's kind of a very good case study on why I wouldn't be so fast to write all this stuff off. And I wouldn't be so fast to say, like, I think there's a lot more value in the
NBA's popularity has not dropped off because the players are the NBA's popularity has dropped off because the players don't play.
And where did that all look? I think that there's a correlation. You know, when you have a league that's telling players, yeah, you can, you know, openly complain about any call that you want to, or you like, you watch an NBA game and the amount of just times you'll see players
palms
like,
up,
you know, pop, like, you know, all this and, you know, yelling at fans, like Anthony Edwards getting into heated arguments with fans, you know. And I get, like, the NBA, it's all player empowerment and all that, and I support much of that. But it's gone too far to me where there's no respect for the game.
I agree with you. Okay, that's fair, because it's load management to me killed the NBA.
NBA players do not, for the most part, respect the game, and it's led to NBA fans not respecting the game.
I agree with that.
There's nobody who hates basketball more than NBA fans. You look at the way that they complain about everything, wonder where that started. It starts with the players. When you have it's an establishment that basically no one respects as far as the people inside it go. And I think there's a ton of value in baseball hanging on to that tradition. Because, look, like, people always would make fun of the Yankees for, oh, like, you don't even allow your players to have beards. Like, it's not the 1960s anymore. And we finally loosened up that rule. And people are like, oh, like, thank God, it's about time. I think, you know, at the end of the day, is a player having a beard going to affect anything? No. But there's a line. It's all kind of a slippery slope where the less you embrace this tradition, the more your product's going to change. And I think there's a scary prospect of things kind of spiraling if you go too far away from the origin of the game.
I think the biggest thing with the NBA losing viewership is every team, it seems like, plays the same way. And there's not a whole lot of parity in play style because everybody wants to just get in the lane, kick it out for threes, and it's everybody does that. Well, and it just gets tired after a while. We don't want to see...
It's an awful product.
We don't want to see 100 threes being shot every night. And every time I turn on a game, Brunson letting a three go from 30 feet, Curry from 40 feet... Mm-hmm. Just jacking them up as far as they want to.
Furthermore, to your point, when I talk about how no one hates the NBA more than NBA fans, you have two teams in the Thunder and the Pacers that play two of the most unique styles of basketball we've seen in years. Excuse me. The Indiana Pacers are, objectively speaking, the most fun team in the league.
I'll say this.
They play the fastest pace. And I'm not even trying to get into the matchup right now. But they play the fastest pace. They play exciting offense. They shoot threes in a way that is engaging with great ball movement. Meanwhile, the Thunder have some of the best pick and roll motion ever.
Ask me how many minutes of these games I'm going to watch.
My point just being that here you have teams that play unique styles of basketball, and it's all just negativity from the fans. It's all, oh, like, nobody wants this matchup because they don't know what they like. Like, it's honestly baffling. Like, this is going to be, I think, one of the most fun matchups stylistically we've seen in forever. And fans aren't even excited about it.
All right, we're getting away from the points. I need to tell you the story.
So you go ahead.
Because I broke the rules. And as I tell you the story, you can tell me your favorite unwritten rule in baseball, or least favorite unwritten rule. We're in the press box in Hattiesburg, and Theo, you're welcome to give you your perspective once I'm finished with this. But everyone knows, and you know it right from the jump, the rule in the press box, no cheering in the press box, period. In baseball, football, basketball, anywhere you are, and you're sitting in the press area, everyone's working. That's the rules. Fine. No problem. I've been doing that for, 5 years now? No problem. But I will tell you that when something exciting happens, I am susceptible for a, oh, Ooh, I'm very susceptible to big hit in Bryant Denny. Or wild catch in Bryant Denny. Wow. I'm susceptible to those. Definitely. You'll never, ever, ever, ever catch me going. That's ridiculous. I think what is cheering in the press box? You know it when you see it. Just like the obscenity, you know the Samford player was over the line. You know it when you see it. I don't think this Duke player was over the line. You know it when you see it. It's not. Come on, let's have some common sense here. First inning in the second game, Alabama's playing Southern Miss. You're in the top of the first inning. Cade Snell, who has hit his ball to the wall the day before in a heartbreaking fashion, hits a ball first inning, and I'm in the back row with everyone else. And look, I am only cheering for excitement, and I just use the word cheering. I am only just looking for excitement,
desiring.
Pretty much in a neutral sense. JB Middleton, we can go there. I was cheering for JB Middleton, Theo, because of that young man's hindquarters were so impressive to me. But I didn't get credit for that, right? I walked in the press box after he's warming up, and I said, "Will, I don't think I've ever seen a college baseball player with the hind end that this guy has." It was massive. So, but Kate Snell, the ball is up, the ball is getting up. And I'm out there, my comments are, ooh, get up. About at that level of volume. Oh, get up. Are you going to get up? And they catch the ball at the wall. Great, no problem. And I get yelled at by one guy. No cheering in the press box. We'll kick you out if that happens again. Now, I immediately just start laughing under my breath. Just, and okay, like, we're not cheering. No one's cheering for anything. No one's cheering for anything, right? When Justin LeBron comes up to bat in the eighth inning, I'm sitting there, ooh, are you going to strike out again for the third time? Or are you going to actually get a hit? What's more interesting to me? I think striking out might be more interesting to me. Striking out for a third time in a huge spot might be more interesting to me. Like, literally, the only angle I ever pull for in the press box is, what's the most interesting angle? I remember a couple years ago, Tennessee is in Bryant-Denny Stadium down 17 or so in the third quarter, and it's fourth and six or so about midfield. And I said, go for it. Just verbally out loud, you need to go for this. And I have a media member who is Gary Harris. Gary leans up and goes, Joe, who are you pulling for? And I go, dude, I'm not pulling for anybody. I'm pulling for drama. I'm pulling for excitement, you know? And he goes, well, we're all pulling for somebody. And I'm like, no, I'm just pulling for the most dramatic thing to happen. And if they go for this and make it, then more drama is still alive here. Tennessee punted. Alabama beat the heck out of them. The game's over, right? I just like good stories. And so I didn't think I was over the top. And Theo, you're about to get your chance to chime in here and say that I'm wrong. And if you want to blast me, it's fine. Like, I'll be quiet. But this year, and it clicked with me. Oh, man, these Southern Miss people are feeling tense. They're feeling tense because they lost yesterday, too, to Columbia, who they shouldn't have lost to. And I just laughed at myself, and everything moved on, and nothing ever happened. And, of course, nothing ever happened. About seventh, eighth inning, because everybody mutters in the press box. We're all talking. You're talking to your neighbor. Oh, did you see that? Oh, what'd you think about that? Every press box you're in is muttering.
It's hard not to, actually.
Right.
I mean, it's human nature to just be like, you know, big fourth down. We say something along the lines of, come on, guys, we need this.
Usually with us at football, for Bama Central, we're communicating substitutions. We communicate, oh, so-and-so is coming in, so-and-so is going out, oh, this formation, oh, that, you know, we're trying to communicate trends so that, well, at least I am trying to communicate trends to my other partners in case you're not seeing, oh, we've been in pistol for like 30% of this drive here. Oh, you start seeing things. And so that's what gets communicated. Ain't no cheering here. I just laughed and I just thought to myself, what a silly, like, it is an unwritten. It's not an unwritten rule. Everybody knows no cheering in the press box, but it's just like a sense of I take things so seriously. So seriously. Your Florida man, or your Florida coach, railing on, you know, the grounds crews and the game time changes. Like, Alabama had a game time change on Friday. You were supposed to play at 2 o'clock, a sunny day, and you get pushed 40 minutes because there's a storm cell four miles away, and nobody knows it. And people are complaining about, wow, they're all delaying it. Like, just relax. There's a reason they're delaying it. Just relax. Like, everybody, it's just baseball. It's just sports. And so I hate unwritten rules. I hate just the serious nature. Like, of course, I do take my job seriously, but it's not, we're not doing life and death.
For the drama.
My hero, Dan Le Batard, says, we play in the sandbox of media. Like, of course, my Tonka truck is in the sandbox, and we are moving it around. I am hopefully giving you guys a distraction from your day, because your day is good or bad, or something's gone on that you want to get a distraction from, whatever. Like, the point of this is fun. And if a player, for Southern Miss, or for Alabama, or for Miami, or for, if Siskar is dealing and he is just, oh my gosh, the next strikeout that he had on Friday, I guarantee you, I'm sitting there with Theo going, oh, he is just on fire. Like, am I cheering for Miami in that situation? No. I just laughed at it. And so, yes, I am a rule breaker, Theo, just like the Duke man with his construction helmet, stepping out of the line, enjoying the day. And I almost got myself kicked out of the press box.
No, and you really did describe it correctly. As much as I would like to say that Joe is going crazy. No, it was genuinely, because I was obviously... it was something. I mean, my eyes are on the game, talking to Will Miller as well. And, you know, I heard the guy say that.
He lost his mind.
And I didn't know who it was. And I didn't know who said what or who said it and who it was targeted. And then I hear Joe laughing. And I know right away, this is targeted right at Joe. And, yeah, I've got the full rundown after the game. But no, they were tense in there. And especially as that game moved on.
Yes.
You could hear a pin drop in there in like the seventh inning.
I bet after Fowler's home run, I bet it was very tense in that stadium. Yeah. In Pete Taylor Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Pete
Taylor Park. That's right.
So I just, I do take my job seriously, but our jobs are fun.
I think we need to move away from the whole notion that media members can't be emotional during the game, because we saw a girl with
some control for sure.
Oh, for sure. You can't just be screaming, running around like a maniac. But I mean, if you're poised and in control and in your seat and you're just being like, good job, nice play, yes, something along those lines, I think that's fine. But when you get guys like, you know who, that are yelling after every play, like that one guy in Huntsville, that you know who I'm talking about, Joe.
So I'm thinking about the Georgia game this past year. Who is the most professional person you think of in college football media? In college football media.
Rich Davis.
Bingo. We're on the same page. Perfect. I'm sitting there on the sidelines as the game is getting tense. You get to move down, and Ryan Williams makes his play, and I'm standing 2 feet away from Reese Davis. And Reese Davis is the king of professionalism, the king of objectivity. He will, like, sometimes they'll rib him that he's an Alabama man, but if they didn't do that, you wouldn't know that he went to Alabama. And his face was jaw-dropped. Oh, wow! And it's just like, it's okay to have some reaction sometimes. Like, that play was absolutely absurd.
It was actually crazy. Yeah.
Now, as long as you're not doing, like, what that girl at the University of Florida did.
That's what I was going to get into.
You know, like, there's a line.
You know it when you see it.
Exactly.
Because she was celebrating with the players, wasn't she? With Thomas Hout.
Yeah, she was Instagramming herself as the clock was counting down, going, oh, we're going to win, you know.
That led to some fun debates in my media ethics classes.
And on the internet too.
I chatted with some of her colleagues at the SEC baseball tournament. They told me, oh, we're with so-and-so ESPN Gainesville. And I said, oh, was that your colleague that was sitting in everybody's lap? And they just started cracking up. And they go, yes. And I go, oh, I mean,
I was a little embarrassed by calling her out that way. They're going, no, you did it right. It's been a huge conversation around our parts. So I just, you know it when you see it. Relax, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's my
sports.
Point.
We're supposed to have fun with this at the end of the day.
It's hard, and it's hard not to have fun. Like, it hit me so many times over the weekend. Like, I'm on the field at a Division I baseball game, like, after we recorded our instant analysis video, and this job is awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
It is incredible.
It's a privilege.
A thousand percent it is.
And it really is crazy to me that, you know, look, obviously I know I'm still young. I'm still kind of fresh, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll be worn down eventually by it. I hope not. I don't see how that's possible, but
I hope I never take it that seriously.
How do you take it?
And never
it that
take it for
seriously?
Granted.
This same guy, just to like maybe give myself a little bit of a better light, this same guy the day earlier, he's running one of their computers, right? And somebody on the opposite in the press box says, hey, I think the computer is showing we're in the bottom of the first inning, but we're actually in the top of the first inning. The game had just started, right? And he goes, thanks for letting me get through an inning. Thanks for letting me get through a whole inning before you called it out. We know. I know it's wrong. I'm fixing it. And I'm just like, whoa, buddy. Like, relax.
Chill out, brother.
Guys, just let you know that something's showing up wrong. It's not. It's not a nuclear bomb.
What do you think the odds of this guy watching the show are?
Zero. And if he is, hello. Zero. If he is, hello, I hope you have a good day. Like, I appreciate I had a great time in Hattiesburg. I really did. And, like, I didn't mean to upset you. I really didn't. But I also, my perspective was that I wasn't cheering in the press box because I'm not a fool. But maybe I am a fool. And if so, I apologize that I upset you. That's my genuine feeling. But my also genuine, but the caveat as well is I think we're taking things a little too seriously here.